Hello, I'm Jennifer, a proud Gen Xer born in 1966.
And I'm Christine, born in 1967.
And we are Dear Generation X.
In the style of Dear Abby and Ann Landers, we will give straightforward and honest advice, no sugarcoating here.
And speaking of Dear Abby and Ann Landers, let's not forget Miss Manners, Hints from Heloise, and Dear Dr. Wallace.
We will revisit advice columns of the past and dive into the questions these icons received, the answers they gave, and how they would relate to today's world.
We hope you'll stay tuned and join us on this journey, and maybe, just maybe, ask us a question or two.
Please be advised that Dear Generation X does use adult language, so our first bit of advice is to listen when the kiddos aren't around.
And one last disclaimer, we are not licensed mental health professionals. Any advice we give should be taken as our own personal opinions. What's going on?
Hey guys, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm good.
All right, how's work today?
Work's good.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is, isn't it?
It's really good.
Yeah, bitch.
I got one more day.
So, you may have picked on that Christine and I worked together for a very short time.
Yep.
A very short, lovely time
it
for me.
It was lovely.
Not so much for you. And we're not going to get into all that.
No.
But our advice is, if you are truly unhappy at a job, look for something else.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe don't quit until you have another job.
Yeah.
But, and you did not because you're not a quitter.
No.
And
I could have.
You absolutely could have. Yes, you could have.
But I didn't.
You did not.
I was unhappy and, you know, I'm not going to get into that either.
No, we're not.
But I actually just looked one morning at 5 a.m., saw something, submitted my resume out of spite almost. Mm-hmm. They contacted me later that afternoon, had an interview, got a job offer in like 2 days. One job I just sent a resume to.
And you're going home. I said this is going to be a little different than what you were doing before.
It is different,
but
yeah.
You're going home. You're going back to what you're comfortable with. You're going to be helping a vulnerable
population.
Part of population, yeah. In our community. I love it.
Yeah.
So I am going to miss you. Although we go days and really not.
Yeah, we were in totally different departments.
We were. But I'm going to miss you, and I wish you well. And tomorrow's your last day, and we're going to go to lunch.
We are.
And that's going to be fun. But I'm saying you're going home.
I know.
Just like I did. And when you say you applied out of spite, that was totally why I have the job I have today.
Yep.
I think it said quick apply. Mm-hmm. And I was quietly quitting at the job that was suffocating me.
Yeah.
And I quick applied this one, and now I am, you know.
You're a boss bitch where you're at.
I'm trying. I drop the ball all the time, but I try to pick it up and throw it higher, and there we go, right?
Yep. So. But I really did like what I was doing.
You did, and you were good at it.
I loved most of the people there. Developed some really good, relationships, friendships that I think a couple will continue. So,
yes.
I mean, it was all very positive.
Yes.
But, you know, at the end of the day, the new job's more money, too. Not that money matters.
But it also does.
It does.
So, there you go.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. So, we're going to jump into a question. And this is a question, it's been around a minute. It was posed on our Reddit community.
Yes.
And we did answer it. So I'm just going to read it and then we'll discuss. So this is our thank you reader, I guess is what it would be. Our one question from our Reddit community.
Yeah, one, but at least we got one. But also, we're not really that active on Reddit.
We're not.
But now that, you know, we're in season two. This is episode 3. You know, we're going to start trying to be more diligent.
Again, we both work.
We do both work.
So this says, I'm a mom of young kids and struggle with the current trend of gentle parenting. Mm. I have several mom friends, including myself, who feel judged if they don't practice gentle parenting, but also want to discipline their kids. I was under the impression that gentle parenting, including discipline, just not hitting. I know I shouldn't care what other people think, but I also don't want to have to constantly defend myself. How can I be a gentle parent without letting my kids walk all over me?
I know. Such a great question.
So this whole gentle parenting, it was a new phrase for us.
It was.
Right? For sure. There were gentle parents. You had gentle parents.
Yeah, I guess I did.
Yeah, you did. And I'm just thinking, no spanking, talking things through.
Yeah, there was, you know, I can remember a handful of times I got spanked. I did the same with my kids. I think I was probably a gentle parent too, but not to the extreme that I see today.
I was not.
To the extreme
and,
today.
Yeah. I was not a gentle parent, and we can get into that later. My kids who both listen to this will agree.
Yes.
So how we answered was, and I'm just going to read it. Dear gentle parent, first of all, thank you for submitting our first
yes.
official question.
This is our first. Yes.
We've read two prior, but this was our first one because, like I said, it was on our Reddit community. Unfortunately, no matter what you do, someone somewhere is going to judge you. So, Mama, you have to do what feels right for you and your little ones, period. When I was a child, and even when I was raising my own children, there was no gentle parenting. I spanked my children, but even worse, I yelled at them. Mm. I yelled, and this was me. I yelled all the time, and that didn't benefit anyone, not them or me. What I've learned as I grow is that it's the consistency in what you are doing that works. They have to know you mean what you say, or you will never get anywhere. Also, you have to realize the difference between discipline and punishment. Discipline is the practice of training someone to behave in accordance with rules so they can adopt desirable future behavior.
That's so smart.
You're going to behave in the store. You can go to a restaurant and eat, right? Because you're going to know how to act because of discipline.
Yeah.
Such as not hitting a sibling or not throwing a fit when they don't get something at the store, right? That's what we want our desirable future behavior to be. Punishment is inflicting suffering on someone for their behavior. A spanking at home because they got in trouble at school, as an example.
Yeah.
Again, the key is consistency, and the discipline needs to make sense. For example, if your child talks back, you can choose to ignore what they say until they are able to say it respectfully. You can say, in this house, we talk to each other respectfully, so when you're ready to do that, I will be ready to listen. If they escalate the situation, then maybe it's time for a timeout or loss of a privilege. But no matter what you decide to do, see it through and don't give in. Those kids will try to wear you down,
oh,
and it's so much easier to cave.
Yep.
But then you have double work to gain the ground you have lost. When teaching children, everyone must be on the same page. So anyone helping you or in their life, such as dad, grandparents, babysitters, etc., all have to be consistent. Sometimes this is where things get muddled.
Yeah.
Mm. When my oldest grandson was born, my daughter lived with her father and me. Even though it felt like a parenting trifecta, she was his mother. I always followed her direction and discipline, what he was allowed and, more importantly, not allowed to eat, do, or say, bedtime, etc. But her father would simply disregard her wishes and do whatever he wanted.
Oh, that's terrible.
No surprise. This led to some resentment from my daughter.
Right.
But even worse, it led to confusion for my grandson.
Right.
Raising children is hard, and raising children to be good adults is even harder. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about what anyone else says. You have to do what works for your children and what feels right to you. Stay consistent, stay strong, take breaks when you can so you can fill up your own cup, and know that this stage won't last long, and you will miss it.
You will.
Before you know it, your children will be grown and living their own lives, and you'll be there standing asking yourself, what the hell happened?
Yeah, this is God's honest truth.
Very sincerely, Generation X.
Yeah.
So I kind of inserted a lot of me in that answer. but I feel like we've kind of alluded to this, I think, in the past, too, is that you were, I mean, if we have to use the phrase gentle parenting, you were the more gentle parent than I was, for sure. A lot of yelling in my household when my children were little. There was spanking. That wasn't my go-to. My go-to was the yelling.
Yeah.
And then, you know, my children got older and I started working at literally at a job where we taught parents how to be good parents. So,
right? You learned. Yeah, you learned.
So I learned then that a lot of I would literally, like, we would go through a training or something. And I remember I would call my ex-husband and be like, oh, my God.
We did everything wrong.
I can't. Yes, we did everything wrong. I can't believe we co-slept, which I'm not slamming, but we were in a waterbed with a newborn co-sleeping. Oh, my God. We weren't doing it safely. I'm like, I can't believe they either survived this or this is not going to cost us thousands of dollars in therapy.
Yeah.
I don't know. They both claim they're fine. They both bring things up.
Yeah. Mm,
they do that. And we remember things differently as well. And
we do.
We do. But also, you know, they weren't the easiest kids. They weren't the laid back, oh, I want to be with my family all the time and I'm going to just be easygoing kids either. They were not. They were both very headstrong.
You really did have some
really
headstrong
obstinate
kids. Yeah.
And I just yelled a lot.
They were just, you know, and they're different.
They're very different, but also so much the same.
Yeah, like for your daughter, she was just so independent from like two. Just independent, headstrong, stubborn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and your son was similar, more, I think, stubborn than independent. But, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I haven't taken any of those parenting classes. I'd probably be eye-opening for me, too. But I think just kind of reading or listening to your, you know, well, our answer, but you put most of that together. This was more your question. I think I did instill in my household more discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Than punishment.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause my kids were, for the most part, well-behaved.
Mm-hmm.
My oldest is a different story. You know, he was not the most well-behaved, but that's another story, another podcast. But my youngest two, you know, really wasn't a lot of trouble. But they definitely knew the rules.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't yell a lot. I still don't. I'm not – I just don't respond well to that. In fact, when I hear somebody yelling, it makes me – never had a word for it, but now it's anxious.
Mm-hmm.
I always got like this weird feeling like, oh, I just feel uncomfortable. I don't like it when people are yelling. So I never really yelled. But there were times that I did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are times that they're doing something where they might hurt themselves. Usually they scared me in some sort of a way. So when I raised my voice, they took notice.
Yes.
Because it wasn't something I normally did. If I can impart any wisdom, I was certainly not the perfect parent as my children would, you know, have you know. But I think that was one of the things I did well is, you know, when I was – angry or when, you know, discipline needed to be applied, it was taken seriously in my household because it wasn't a normal part of our day.
And it's funny that you say that because thinking back, the times where I was truly angry, because I'm sure, you know, looking back, I think I was yelling out of being overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Out of being, and not just overwhelmed with them. I mean, we've talked a lot about our financial situation.
Right, we had money problems.
You know, I may have just gotten off the phone with our electric company, begging them not to turn our electric off.
Yes.
And
how
setting up a payment plan that I know I can't pay.
Yeah.
And then have one of them hit the other one. You know what I mean? Or something where it may have been, and again, you're living in the moment, but looking back, there may have been times where it was totally unrelated to them.
Or right.
there was more going on behind the scenes than they ever knew about. They didn't know about all that.
Right.
That I was overwhelmed or whatever, feeling however, you know, and then just took it out on them, which again, it's not right.
Right.
But, you know, the times you said when you would raise your voice, they took notice.
Yeah.
When I would be so angry about something real that may have happened, not just they were fighting and I couldn't stand to hear them yell anymore. Something real. I wouldn't yell.
You would lower it. Yeah.
I wouldn't say anything.
Oh.
I would process and then I would be calm, like scary calm. You know?
Oh, so same thing.
They took notice of that because that is not what they were expecting.
Right.
You know, they were expecting the screaming and yelling, and then you come at me with, I don't even know, I can't give an example right now, but just the, I have nothing to say. I'm so angry at you, I can't even form words, you know?
Yeah.
Which they knew. And then, then they're all like, follow me around, you know? But
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, same principle. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Same principle when you're not like what they expect.
Right.
Then.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. So, but this, you know, I don't really know the whole definition of gentle parenting. You know, I don't really know what that means. Does that mean let them get away with everything, whatever they want? Does that mean, I understand that you have anxiety and you're, you know, you can't find the words. Like, is that what it is? Like, I'm not really clear.
I don't know. And I think it does involve, like, justifying their feelings.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you threw that green cup on the floor because you wanted the blue one. But you have to find that where it's not okay to throw your cup on the floor.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't.
I mean, we've all seen the kids out, you know, at the store or, you know, your local Walmart or whatever. They're just terrible. And the moms, they just let them scream and throw a fit and they're kicking on the floor and. Never would I have allowed that.
I remember walking away from my son who was throwing a fit on the floor. Okay, I'm not going to deal with this, walking away. But then, like, I was right there watching him.
Right.
And he popped up. He popped up and came after me. And the tantrum did end. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, I ignored it. I did something right that one time.
Yeah.
That one time in Hooks.
Yeah.
You know, Hooks drugstore.
Hooks drugstore. Yeah. Right? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Blast from the past.
But we've left. I've left full grocery carts in the middle of the store because they would throw fits about not getting a toy or something, you know. Yeah. And I will say, and we've talked about this before, like, I do feel, and I know they're going to come back at me and do it. You know what? Come back at me, children. But
yeah, send us a question.
I do feel that I was consistent. Like if I said, if you do that one more time, we are leaving this party. And if they did it, we left.
Yeah.
I didn't want to leave. I probably yelled at them all the way home because I didn't want to leave. But If you act this way, we are going to leave everything right now in the store. You aren't going to get what you already have in this cart.
Yeah.
Boom. I'm walking out with a pissed because I'm going to have to go back.
Right.
And refill that cart and try to remember everything I had in it. Right. Although I'd had a list. But
yes, you and your list.
I felt like if you don't, you know, I don't know, you don't pass English, you're going to be grounded for a month.
Right.
They were grounded. Like, I remember, you know, my daughter's friends being like, please pass math, Lauren, because spring break's coming. Like, you'll be home all spring break doing math. You know? And I don't know. I tried.
You were very consistent.
I tried. You know? I mean, I dropped the ball. We all did. But
We all did. And, yeah.
I remember leaving a party one time because one of them couldn't behave. and our friend saying, I don't know why they don't just believe you when you say you're going to leave the party. Because we all know you're going to be, we're all like, don't do it.
Right.
Because we know you're going to leave.
Right.
And we pack up and go home. All right. Now you're going to your room.
Wow.
Could have been playing with your friends. I don't know. So that was a little tangent I went down. But
and I feel like too, and I don't know if you get this, but I feel like our generation, Generation X, I feel like our children, I don't want to say blame us more, and they talk about issues that they have that stemmed from things that we did. And I really struggle to find a time where I blamed my parents for some of the ways that I am. Now, there are a couple things. Like for me, one is my mother used to use the word nag. She would nag my father all the time, you know, and she would say his name, Warren, do this, Warren, do that, blah, 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 like nagging. And I hated it. It made me uncomfortable. And I swore I would never do that. And I'm like the total opposite. I won't say shit, you know, to a partner that bothers me, because to me, in my mind, that's nagging to the point where I get so pissed off that they're doing the same thing, but they don't know because I've never voiced
it.
So, like, there's little things like that, but
I don't think I'm a nag either. And Marjorie, I don't remember Marjorie being a nag. I don't know. I'm sure there's things. I can't think of anything.
That's
right
my
now.
Point. But, is right. We really, like, you have would have to really think about it. And I'm not talking about, you know, our children necessarily. I'm talking about things that I see out in the world, you know, and on social media, and that a lot of it is, you know, blamed on their parents, which is Generation X. And I guess I'm posing the question is, but we didn't do that. So what changed?
Right. I do get blamed for things. And I think that they're more aware of their feelings and how they feel. And you have to figure out why are you feeling this way?
Yeah.
And again, I put it back to social media. Like,
you could have,
and I've had this happen where you're scrolling through Instagram or TikTok or Reels on Facebook, right? And you come across something and it's just a 30-second saying that just hits you like a ton of bricks.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, that's my whole life. Like something I've struggled with my entire life all of a sudden makes sense.
Okay.
So I think there's a lot of that happening and, oh, your, you know, relationship with your significant other stems from the way your parents treated any boys you brought home or, you know, something like that. Like, is there some justification in that? Probably. You know, were the parents doing the best they knew how at the time?
Yeah.
Probably.
So keep your fucking mouth shut. I mean, I'm sorry. But that's how I feel. Keep your fucking mouth shut. Your parents did everything that they could do. You don't know the struggles they were going through. And if they didn't beat you, you know, if you were fed and clothed and housed and loved, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that's our generation, too. And we kind of get slammed for that, too, because we're like the just suck it up.
We are.
Generation.
We are the suck it up generation.
Suck it up generation. And I think I still struggle to get past that. And I probably never will.
Yeah.
You know, suck it up.
But I mean, I think part of our generation is hindering the younger ones who might want to change things. Let's use spanking, for example, right? Something you rarely did.
Yeah. But I did do it when
we did it more often.
Yeah.
For sure. And my son, who, oh my gosh, you know, watching my daughter spank my grandson, spank the older one, it kills me. And I've swatted his little booty too. I'm not saying I haven't, like a little swat.
Right.
Oh gosh, what are you doing? That's my baby. Leave him alone. He's perfect. You know, I can't even imagine the time I see my giant bear of a son swat my younger one.
Yeah.
But he'll sit there and go, I turned out okay. You spanked me and I turned out okay.
Yeah.
We say that. Yeah. That's what we say.
Yeah.
I hear that from Gen X more than any other generation. It doesn't make it right.
It doesn't make it right.
Now, is a SWAT, I'm not going to condone child abuse or beating children or anything like that. Sometimes a SWAT just shakes them out of themselves.
It does.
You know? Sometimes there's no words. It's just whack, get in the corner. Yeah. You know? I mean, that you're going to sit there. That doesn't even hurt them. Like, well, it's the shock of it, I think, because I know some spanks can hurt. But
yeah,
if you're tapping a diaper, you know, if they're of a three-year-old or whatever, you know, that doesn't physically hurt them. It emotionally gets them.
Right, exactly.
You know, and may, like I said, just kind of shock them out of whatever they're doing at that moment. Right. And, you know, what
are you doing? This is terrible, but it reminds me of the dog whisperer with his ch-ch-ch. He takes like his fingers and he'll like a dog who's like crazy and acting up, and he like pokes them on the side with his fingers and he does this sound ch-ch-ch, and it snaps them out of there. He says they're like in a not confused state. How does he say it? They're in anyways, a different state, and you want them to calm down and be in the moment, and that's what he does. It's the same thing.
It kind of is.
It is kind of the same
thing. I mean, what do we say? Discipline is training.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean.
Okay. So funny story, though, about that, because I use that on my dogs. And there was one night I was sleeping. And I think my husband, because he works different shifts, he works a swing shift. He came home and he said that I did that to him. He goes, "You ch-ch-ch me." I'm like, "No, I didn't." He said, "I was coming into bed and you rolled over, looked at me, and went ch-ch-ch." I was like, "No, I didn't." He said, "He did."
But you also can kind of see yourself. Yeah, maybe I
absolutely.
Did.
I needed him to stop the behavior of coming to bed because you were working, you know, 4 to 12s or whatever and disturbing my, you know, blankets or whatever the hell he did.
And I mean, okay. So I'm not going to equate training a dog with training a child. Yeah. However, what's worse, a SWAT or a ch?
Yeah.
Because one thing I learned in my 8 years at my previous job was if they hear no all the time, it just
meaning, right?
No means nothing if you're hearing it all the time. But like when they're little and they're crawling and they don't even really understand it. It's at a certain age, they don't understand it. So, like, if they're little and crawling and they're going for the dog food and you're trying to stop them before they get there,
right.
Do you go, ah, ah, ah,
ah. It's and the same thing.
It's the same thing as ch, ch.
Yep, same thing. And also, I'm sorry, the dog whisperer says the same thing about dogs because you'll say that to dogs. No, 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 no.
They don't
no.
know what
they
you're saying.
They don't know what that means and it has no meaning, but aha, or whatever you said.
Yeah. I would, and they stop, they look at you. They may look at you for 2 seconds and then keep going back to what they're doing.
Yeah, but it gives you 2 seconds.
But it gives you 2 seconds to catch up. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Or distract them. Here, come over here. Jingle something at them. Yeah. I don't know. Get them to come back over there.
Again, like a dog. Isn't that weird? It, Have we just.
Have we just the cracked code? The code?
Okay.
All righty.
So
then.
I think include in your gentle parenting some ahs and some, you know, and see if that helps.
And be consistent about it.
Be consistent. See if it helps.
So we've talked about some things, mistakes maybe that we made
as
parents, right? But I found some things that used to be common practice that are no longer done anymore
for most people. Some old parenting.
Some old parent. Not even that old. I mean, I remember some of them.
Okay.
But, so one thing that people no longer do is put babies to sleep on their stomachs.
Right.
We did. When we brought our oldest home,
we were taught to put them on their stomachs.
Never made me comfortable. I would like kind of put them on their sides a little bit So if they did spit up, and I understand that, like, if they spit up.
Yeah, the premise was if they spit up.
It would come out, yeah. But it can lead to SIDS. Or it's a, you know, a possible.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can lead to SIDS. My daughter was totally on her stomach, but as I had my son three and a half years later, it was side. It was side.
So my daughter was stomach. Because when you put them on the sides, they could flip over too.
Mine
right?
was Either side. Way. Yeah.
Yeah. And
because they recommend it, but then they keep changing it.
They change
it's like,
it.
What do I do?
They're learning.
Yeah.
Right? So I know now it's nothing in the crib. No. Remember those? I don't even know what they're called.
The bumpers?
Anymore.
On
the bumpers.
Sides?
Thank
You're
you.
Not supposed to have those?
No. Nothing. That's why these sleep bags are so important. Swaddling is, you know, one, I think swaddling does help calm them. But
I do too.
So they stay warm without having to have blankets because you shouldn't have a pillow, a blanket, anything.
And are they on their backs again?
They're on their backs. Yeah. So they have these little sleep sacks that you can put them in. That's a blanket, but it's like a little sleeping bag.
Yeah.
And you just put them in there and that's safe sleep because they can roll over, but they're not going to, they're, mouths and their noses aren't going to get caught up in it.
Right.
Like it could a blanket or a bumper pad or whatever.
Yeah. Oh my God. I had all of that.
My.
They were on their stomach with the Disney bumper pads with the strings hanging and they had it all.
Yes. Pillow. My. I,
pillows. Yeah.
Pillows and blankets and all the stuffed animals.
Yes. Stuffed animals. Yes.
Yes.
Oh my God. Yes. So, I did everything wrong.
All of the things.
All of the things. But that's what we, that's what we were taught.
That's what we thought, right. So, to soothe teething pain, our elders rubbed whiskey on our gums.
They did.
We no longer do that. Yeah. That's no longer common practice.
No, I didn't do that with my kids.
I did not either.
But we had like the baby Orajel and stuff.
Yes.
And then we would have, I think it was a frozen waffle.
Oh.
I think I would let them chew on a frozen waffle because... It's not like they could bite it off and they would just gum it. And obviously you hold it, you know, and when it starts to melt, you turn it. So because they're too, you know, young. But yeah, the frozen waffle worked good.
I remember their great grandma told me that she used to let her kids gnaw on a tablespoon because they could hold it. But
oh,
it was
God.
It was too big to go down their throat. They couldn't swallow it. And it was cold because it was metal.
Yeah.
So I did like a not a measuring tablespoon, but
like a kitchen spoon.
Tablespoon. And I did. I would hand them.
Wow.
Here's your little tablespoon. They'd gnaw on it.
Did you refrigerate them or anything, or they were just cold?
No,
because
they were just
the...
cold because they were metal.
Yeah. Huh.
And then there was the big teething necklaces, and I still see them, and it's not anything the baby chews on, but I think it kind of goes along with like the crystal idea of it soothing them somehow. I was never a fan of them. Those are not as popular as they used to be.
I think I have my kids might have teething rings too.
No, not teething rings. These are necklaces. These are necklaces you put on a baby.
No.
You'll see babies with these little necklaces on. No, not a teething ring.
Okay.
Teething rings are acceptable.
Okay.
The necklace is what is...
What do they do with the necklace? They're supposed to chew on it
It's like a crystal. Like it's...
What?
I don't know.
And this
is
something old that we
did? This is a new age thing. But... necklaces on babies have not always turned out that well.
No.
So that is losing its popularity
right
now, which is good.
Good.
I never liked that. I had a lot of parents who did it when I was at my old job, and I see them frequently. And I don't – apparently they work. I don't know, but there's a lot of danger involved. So.
Oh, my God.
Now, we both use these, and they're not so popular anymore, but walkers.
Oh, yeah.
Puffed a walker.
They don't use walkers anymore?
They're a little dangerous. They say that they can delay development because the baby just gets used to pushing them. It's so easy to get around with a walker. I don't know. I felt like both of my kids were walking. My son was walking at 11
they
months.
Both walked
my daughter
young.
Was walking at 10 or 11
both of
months.
My kids walked young.
Yeah, and we used walkers.
Yeah.
Now, they can be dangerous. My daughter did go down a huge flight of stairs in her walker. Not on my watch.
Yeah, let's point that out.
I was got that call from work. That was a good day.
Oh.
She hit hard in that landing, too. Remember, the indent of the floor tile was in her head for a while. Yeah, it was not good. She's fine.
Yeah.
But she went down on a walker, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's another reason why they say don't to use them, because you can
go down the stairs. You have to supervise them, but it's easy for them. Because when they get going on it, they figure it out. They are fast.
Corporal punishment. Yeah. So spanking.
Right.
A lot of people aren't doing that anymore.
So my daughter and her husband, and I don't think they spank really, but like when their kids are in diapers, they call it pow-pows.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get pow-pows, pow-pows. That just means a pow-pow on the diaper.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like that.
Yeah.
The pow-pows. It seems nicer.
I feel like when I say a swat, it's really just a pow-pow.
Yeah, it's a pow-pow.
Pop-pow.
You're going to get pow-pows.
And it's, again, it's kind of like the
Yeah, it is. You're going to get pow-pows. Oh, yeah.
That almost sounds fun, though.
It does.
Yeah.
Oh, I want a pow-pow.
I want a pow-pow. Another thing we don't do anymore it's unpopular.
Okay.
Is making them finish all the food on their plates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
A little nuts.
My parents did that with me. And I always grew up feeling like, oh, God, here I am blaming my parents.
Well, there we see. We knew we'd come up with something.
I used to think I was a picky eater. Mm-hmm. And they would always tell me I'm a picky eater because I hated everything. And I didn't want to eat what was on my plate. And you were going to sit there. And I would sit there and I wouldn't eat it. And they'd do the dishes and they'd be watching TV. And they'd finally give up and just let me get up. Years later, I discovered I wasn't a picky eater. I hated my mother's food.
Oh.
And God rest her soul.
She made really good Italian beef.
There's a couple things she did good at. But, you know, making city chicken. Have you ever even heard of that?
I don't know. It's beef,
isn't it?
It's this
greasy, grizzly crap on a stick. It would be the meats that were so, like, gristly and chewy. Like, it would make me gag. So there was a lot of things like that. So they would do that, and they would try to make me sit there. And I would sit there for a couple hours, but I would never finish it, and they would let me get up.
Oh, my gosh.
They would let me get up.
Yeah. The one thing I hated, which I've talked about, I think, was this corned beef hash stuff that my parents made. It was like corned beef hash from a can. Like, I love real – I've made homemade corned beef hash. It's delicious. This is not – And it was just gross. And I would come home in grade school and cry because they had these like blue Crocs. My kids have heard this. My kids who are listening right now, my wife, anyone who knows me well has heard the story more than once. There would be these blue Crocs out. I wish I had them now because they were actually kind of cool, but I got rid of them because I equated that. So when I was going through all of her things, those were one of the first things to go, were those stupid blue Crocs. And they'd be sitting, there was just three of them, and they'd be sitting out, and I knew what we were going to have for dinner because the only time they ever came out was when they made the corned beef hash crap. And I would cry. And that was it. Like, there was no, you really don't like this. You can have a peanut butter or you can have mac and cheese like we did.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I always was very, if you don't like this, I make you this. Yeah.
My son was a picky eater, you know, and one thing that I knew he really – and we would have him try everything.
Like, yeah, you know, yeah. If you really don't like it, yeah.
Right. And he really didn't like condiments.
Okay.
Ketchup, mustard, mayonnaise. Right. I think he still probably doesn't. He hated chili.
All right.
So I knew when I made chili, I made him something different.
Yeah.
My daughter would eat the chili at one. You know, like she ate whatever he put in front of her.
Yeah.
And I think we maybe even did things a little different.
She's so skinny now, too. Does that have anything to do with it?
I don't know.
Picky eaters are heavier than, like, I'll eat anything.
Yeah, I probably gave him fucking food issues. He's going to blame that one on me.
Well, I mean.
So my son, like, he would only eat, like, four things. Mm-hmm. Remember? Like, baby food, he would eat whatever we put in front of him. And then when he started eating table food, he would eat, like, mac and cheese, ravioli, hot dogs. And chicken nuggets.
Yeah.
And that was it. So for 4 years, he was four, And we'd make our dinner. I would make our dinner. Yeah. And I would make his dinner.
Yep.
He'd go somewhere. I'd send the food.
Yep.
Right? And then I'm like, I'm tired of this. And he needs better vitamins. You right. know, he needs more. And the first thing I made him, I remember I cooked him pot roast. And I set it in front of him. And he, like, looked at all of our plates. And he goes, where's my dinner? And I said, that's your dinner. You're going to start eating what we eat now. To this day, pot roast is one of his favorite meals, actually.
Really?
Yeah, so that one worked out well. But there were things I knew he really didn't like chili.
Yeah.
He did not like chili. Yeah. He'll eat it now.
And I feel like, yeah, if they taste it and they really don't yes. like it, then that's fine.
Then I would make him something different. Now, my two-year-old daughter would eat chili.
Yeah.
You know, she ate whatever was put in front of her for the most part. But, you know, he didn't. And I know your son,
mm-hmm.
he was, I don't want to say picky, but he, you know, he didn't eat everything put in front of him. And
he did not.
Yes.
Yeah. And, he had more of a, and I mean, he has to this day, it's more about the texture of mm-hmm. the food for him. And there wasn't really a name for mm-hmm. it. And yeah, like my parents, my in-laws were like, he's just a picky eater. And but I would do the same thing. He liked grilled cheese.
Mm-hmm.
He liked bacon. Mm-hmm. He liked pancakes.
He ate
liked
chicken nuggets,
peanut
didn't
butter.
He
did never ate chicken
he didn't
nuggets.
He liked creamy peanut butter.
He did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there was just certain things he would eat because it was about the texture mm-hmm. for him. And he would try things.
Mm-hmm.
And he would physically get ill from it. I remember sitting in a McDonald's and him talking him into tasting a French fry. He wouldn't eat anything at McDonald's. Just try to eat a French fry, which isn't even healthy, but I'm like trying to get that. He threw up.
Mm.
And, you know, took him to countless doctors. They didn't know. And so he had always had his own dinner. He liked pizza, but he would take the cheese off the
yes.
top.
Yes. Okay.
He would
All
take
right.
the cheese off the top. You know, it was just certain things, and it just got to be nobody could tell us what was going on. Mm-hmm. Nobody could fix it. He was okay. We just made his own, but it was the same thing. We would go out to dinner. We would have to make sure that somebody had a grilled cheese on their menu so he wouldn't feel, you mm-hmm. know, left out. You know, he still struggles with it today, but he tries new things, and there's certain things he likes. There's certain things he doesn't, and it's all about texture, but... You know, back then that we didn't have doctors who would say,
right.
you know, it's some sort of a food allergy or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, you know, it is. But it was a real struggle.
So imagine if you took to the advice of finish your plate. You're going to sit here till you finish your plate.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. How hard his life would be. How
right.
He would literally be traumatized right
he
now.
He would be. He would,
know.
Yeah, he would be.
And he's a healthy, grown-ass
yes.
man eating whatever it was that he ate.
Yes.
He got what he needed.
He did.
You know?
He did.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. I can't even imagine that. I would never have done that to him.
Mm-mm.
So that's
Mm-mm.
absolutely fucking terrible.
Yeah.
And it was done to me, but...
And it was done to me as well.
And they did,
so,
they
yeah.
did cave, though, after a couple hours. But I would have never done that.
I remember I was like... In high school, I was probably 18 years old, 17 or I think I was like a senior in high school. And I sat down and that corned beef hash was in front of me.
Are you sitting me? Those
and
blue
I
crocs.
Said, the little blue fucking croc sitting there. And I said, fuck this. And I pushed it away and I got up and made myself something different. And sat, because we sat down.
Yeah.
We ate
did
as
too.
A family,
yeah.
three of us, every single night.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm not doing it. And I was done. Whatever I got myself, I don't even remember. But from that moment on, when I would come home, there would only be two crocs out.
God.
I probably was fending for myself, but
yeah.
But whatever, I was happy to do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Put me a French bread pizza in the oven. I don't care. But
yeah.
you know. So yeah, you know. But yeah, I think about your son, and you that
right,
was a good thing that you did.
Because yeah.
can you imagine? Like,
no.
That was a real thing that he was dealing with.
No.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
So,
to my son.
Another thing that we don't do so much anymore is give aspirin for a fever.
Oh,
right. It can increase the risk of Reye's syndrome.
Yeah. But I think that, like, when our kids were little, they had the children's Tylenol.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
by
they
that
had
point,
it then.
We did, yeah.
Oh, my God. Do you remember the time when she was a year and a half, and she was sick, and the doctor had said to get children's NyQuil?
Mm-hmm.
And I did. You know, and I gave it to her, and she would sleep, and then it would be like, whatever, 6 or 8 hours, whatever it was. So she had woke up. It was about 5 or 6 o'clock at night. I grabbed it. I grabbed the NyQuil, put it in a cap, gave it to her because she would, you know, take mm-hmm. it. Because it was children's. It tasted good or whatever. Mm-hmm. She downed it, and the look on her face, and she started coughing. I gave her a fucking adult NyQuil.
Oh, my God.
Because the bottles at the time...
They were very similar.
Very similar. Mm-hmm. The colors were the same. They were both sitting out. I don't know why. Like, if she was sick, probably one of us was sick. I don't know. But the look on her face, I panicked.
Oh, my God.
I immediately called my dad, who was in the medical mm-hmm. field. Like, do I need to rush her to the hospital? What do I need to do? She was fine.
Yeah.
Didn't
he say she's just going to sleep for a really long time?
She's just going to sleep for a while.
She's sleep for a while.
He didn't even say keep an eye on her. He was just like,
she'll be fine.
Now, I sat there and watched
of course.
That baby girl sleep. And I would keep nudging her and listen as she breathing. But she slept hard.
And that was the beginning of the addiction to sleeping pills.
No, because she doesn't. But no, yeah, she doesn't. Makes it sound like she does. But yeah.
She does not. No.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Because she'll be like, do you remember? And she doesn't remember it. She just remembered the story.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. That's I felt so terrible.
Funny. Oh, yeah.
I was holding her running around. I have to call my dad. I did.
Wake up, everybody.
It's like I just killed my baby.
Everybody wake up. Oh, my God. So this is the last thing I have.
Okay.
And this is, people used to say comforting a crying baby will end up making the baby spoiled.
Oh,
it breaks my heart. I know.
So terrible.
And there are people who, you know, again, my old job with a lot of parents and our thing at that point was, like, you can't hold your baby too much. You can't. Like, they are developing their trust, and they're developing that bond, and they're learning that people are going to meet their needs. And if you don't, they're going to learn from a very early age that no one's going to meet their needs, you know?
Yeah.
And but then you have the parents and the grandparents.
So they have to self-soothe.
Yeah, they have to self-soothe, or he's spoiled, or that baby's greedy. Because he wants to eat. He's greedy. I used to hate that.
Oh, my God.
He's so greedy. No, he's probably hungry.
Yeah.
He's just a big baby and he's hungry. He's not greedy.
God. I remember with my son, he didn't sleep a lot mm-hmm. either. Like, you know, normally babies, newborns, sleep a lot. He really didn't.
Mm.
And so I had shit to do. I had two other kids. I babysat kids. I had a, you know, house to run. I remember just holding that baby in one mm-hmm. arm, vacuuming with the other, holding him, trying to do a dish, you know, just whatever I was doing.
Yep.
Outside, pulling weeds, holding my baby. Like, he was, like, literally, because he wouldn't sleep, and he liked just me holding him. And he.
One thing I wish that we did that they do now, which is common practice, is that baby wearing.
Yeah, we didn't have
Why
that.
Why didn't we have
baby
that?
Baby Bjorn or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you could have both hands free,
I would,
and your baby on you,
we did not have that.
We did not have. We were literally carrying them with one arm.
Carrying, like, oh my God, like
whether we
get so strong,
didn't know or whatever. We didn't know.
We didn't know. There was no internet. We couldn't go, like, oh, look at that cool shit. Like, what did they have at Penny's? You know,
right?
Like, they didn't have that shit at Penny's.
They weren't selling shit like that. No.
No. We didn't know anything about it. There was, again, no internet. So it wasn't no influencers, no Amazon.
Had to warm all the damn time.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Would have been awesome. Anyways.
So.
Yeah.
Gentle parent. If you can decipher anything that we've said tonight, you got to do you. Yeah. But consistency is the key. So what is important to you and their father and your family, what the things that you want to instill in them, that's what you focus on.
Yeah.
Don't worry about what anyone else is thinking, because people are going to judge you no matter what you do.
Yeah. And if you give pow-pows to your kid and somebody gives you the evil eye, fuck them.
Right.
It's your kid.
It is your kid. And no matter what you do, when they're old, they're probably going to blame you.
They're
for
still
going to
blame
anyway,
you.
So
they're still going to blame you.
At least you can say, eh, we did what we thought was best at the time.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Exactly. So. All right. Well, that was interesting.
Yeah.
That was so stupid. Sorry.
Yeah.
I was like, well, that was so interesting. That's my laugh.
I go, yeah. These are my favorite parts, though. Like when we're crying, when we fuck up so bad that we're crying because we're laughing. Oh my God.
And we're laughing at ourselves. I love that. I wish,
I wish someone gave me orange.
It's my pants. That was the best one.
Oh, God.
But you didn't really hear the one from last time where it was like, hey, you just have to just be your best. You just have to be your best. And then you're like, pause. And then we're like, simply the best. Oh, God.
Was that me or you?
So you started saying about the best and then paused because you knew it was dumb. And then I started singing simply the best. Well, I started saying, yeah, I got to be the best. You got to be the best. Just be the best.
Just be the best. Don't be the worst.
Don't be the worst. Be the best. If you're not first, you're last.
Oh, God. All right.
So in closing, I feel like if you're not first, you're last. So thanks, guys. I think that about does it for episode 3 of season 2.
That's right.
Oh, my God.
Look at where we are.
Yeah, look at that.
All right.
All right. Well, we'll see you next week, and thanks for listening.
Cheers.
Bye. Thanks so much for listening to Dear Generation X.
We look forward to hearing from you, so please send us your questions, dilemmas, or observations.
You can contact us by emailing us at deargenerationx@gmail.com or submit your questions on our Dear Generation X Reddit community.
And if you like this episode, please subscribe to our show and leave us a review.
And don't forget to like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram.